Well, as we bring you coverage of the 2014 Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, the Western Leg on day three traveled from Nebraska City and got into Iowa and touring the western third of Iowa. We're joined by Pro Farmer's Chip Flory. And from south to north, surprisingly consistently uniform crop in terms of corn. I guess, what were your impressions of what we saw?
Southwest Iowa was really good. A big increase over a year ago. The biggest increase in the western side of the state that we saw over a year ago. The increase over a year ago in the central part, west central part of the state, was less than what we saw in the southwest. And then it was even less once we got up into the northwest crop district in Iowa. So it was kind of interesting to just see that crop build as we were moving south to north in western Iowa. The thing that held the northern crop district back a bit is back in June, over a four-day period, there was anywhere from 8 to 24 inches of rain in a four-day period in June. The thing that just impresses me so much about this 2014 corn crop is that never before have we established record yields, even in a crop district, when we've had above normal June rains. That June rain pattern, it tells us a lot about what to expect during the course of the year. And this year, evidently, we've got to throw all the rules out the window because we had unbelievable June rains, yet that crop in the Northwest District is going to hold on. It's going to make a good crop, a very strong yield. And the Northwest District, it might be a touch better than what we've got in the Southwest District, but Southwestern Iowa is really good. Think of all the rolling hills down there, the soil types that are down there. And you drive down the road and it's lush, it's green. It's the third week of August, and guys in western Iowa still have to mow the lawn. That doesn't happen that often. And it translates right into the cornfield. It translates right into the bean field when we talk about yield potential.
And looking at the crop, what do you think it was specifically that was so surprising? It seems in terms of population, ear count, what's just really making this crop so much stronger than what we saw last year?
Yeah, I think it's ear count. That's got a lot to do with it. Down in southwest Iowa, if you put a seed in the ground, it seems like it came up and made an ear. That's true to a lesser extent in west central Iowa and further to a lesser extent in northwest Iowa, because the guys in northwest Iowa have been pushing populations for years now, and they've been backing off a little bit in west central and backing off even more in the southwest. But I think after this year, guys are seeing just exactly what they can get if they start to push the populations. And I would guess that in the years ahead, I shouldn't stretch it out that far. Next year, the guys that are planting corn in southwest Iowa are going to start to push those populations even harder in anticipation that, hey, we're going to get a rain at the right time. In the past, they've always kind of planted that dryland crop like the guys have in eastern Nebraska, just kind of counting on a drought. And so they've always put in lower populations just as protection against drought. I would guess going forward, they're going to switch that attitude and start going to a higher population down in the southwest part of Iowa and even into the west central Iowa, pushing it up into that 34,000-35,000 seeding range and hoping that they're going to have 33,000 ears left by the time we get to the third week of August.
Well, the western Iowa crop was impressive. I think even more impressive was that the soybean crop, and especially in terms of numbers.
Yeah, some of the percentage increases that we saw, the Northwest District was up big from a year ago and up big from the three-year average. And the thing is, we've got to remember this. The pod counts last year in 2013 in northwest Iowa, west central Iowa were not that much better than what we saw in 2012 in the middle of a drought. This year, we've got our pods back. This year, we were walking through the bean fields and getting mud on our boots. That right there is enough to tell me that if it's raining in the third week of August out here in western Iowa, do not underestimate what the Iowa bean crop can do, because that late August rain, early September rain, that goes further of in telling us exactly what the yield is going to be, even more so than pod count. And the reason for that is because of the size of the bean. If we can fill up those pods with some big beans, that goes a long ways towards building a big bean yield. It's how the guys out in Nebraska do it. They build a big bean. These late August rains are going to build a bigger bean in western Iowa.
What do you think attributed most to having higher pod counts? I mean, as much as 30% in some districts.
When you get a percentage increase in the number of pods in a 3-by-3-foot square, like we saw in western Iowa this year, you really got to start to question, okay, exactly what was it? Was it planting date? Was it the June temperatures? You know, those soybeans, most of them were in the ground in northwest Iowa when we got those heavy rains. You go down to southwest Iowa, and maybe it was the fact that we went through about a 25-day, maybe even a 30-day period in some areas of western Iowa that went rain-free in July. And soybeans, it's almost like you got to make them mad at some point in the growing season to really get them, force them to do everything that they can possibly do. And maybe it was that stretch of dry weather in there that forced them to set some pods, and then they got some timely rains after those pods were set. And that was enough encouragement to that soybean plant to go ahead and hold on to the pods that they had set. In the past, in the past 2 years in particular, we didn't get that rain quite soon enough to encourage those plants to hold on to the pods. This year, the rains came in time, and I think that is the answer. We made them mad at the right time, put the right amount of stress on them at the right time, and then gave them a drink of water at the right time to encourage them to hold on to the pods. And I think that probably explains why our pod counts are up as much as they are. Do pod counts necessarily translate to yield? In some years, they do. And when we look at the pod counts that are coming out of the Eastern Corn Belt, with the growing conditions that they've got, I think this year pod counts will translate into yield. When we get over into the Western Belt, pod counts do not always translate into yield. And that's when we've got big pod counts and low pod counts. It all depends on the rain that we get last half of August and maybe even into the first week of September. We can have low pod counts, but get a good rain last week of August, and we're going to have a pretty good yield. When you get that high pod count, a lot of times it has something to do with the population in the field. You get some stringy plants, and they'll go ahead and set some pods, but they don't quite finish like you hoped they would, and you don't get a big bean in those pods. Even though you've got a lot of pods, you don't get a big bean inside of that pod. And the end result is basically a wash. The loss of bean size offsets the higher number of beans that we're harvesting. And so it doesn't always translate into it. But in some areas this year, I think it might. Out here in the Western Belt, I think we're kind of looking at a wash. We've got a good bean crop out in the west, in the Western Belt, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa. But I think the Iowa, Western Iowa bean crop is going to be better than a year ago. USDA indicated that as of August 1, and the bean crop that we saw today was a good bean crop. It just needs to finish.
Well, we've been joined by Pro Farmers Chip Flory as we wrap up at day three from Spencer, Iowa. Day four will take us into southern Minnesota to round out the 2014 Pro Farmer Midwest Crop.